One last song before we go to the Word tonight, and that is Only Believe. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, and taking for our text, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and resolutely approach thy throne of mercy tonight, realizing, O God, that you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, have come down with a very special message in this hour, a message that is to attract your elect, a message which is to transform your elect by the renewing of her mind, a message which is to completely phaneroo who you are and why you've come, that we also might be phaneroo'd to know who we are. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that great message in which a prophet said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here, and knowing that you are here. And as your prophet said, the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. Then, Father, we just commit ourselves to that leading. Now, Father, we just commit our service unto thee, and we ask that you bless these words in Jesus' name. May they truly go within our hearts, Father, and create within us a new heart, a new spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Behold. What does the word behold mean? It means look, observe. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, it does not yet manifest in its true sense who we are. But we know that when he shall manifest in his true sense, then we shall be like him. For we will see him as he truly is. And thus the seeing him as he truly is helps you to recognize who you truly are. You know, the world All of Christendom, they claim God as their Father. Well, you know, the Catholic Church, they sing their songs, Kumbaya, and you know, they sing the songs, you know, we are heirs with the Father, joint heirs with the Son, joint heirs with Jesus, a family of one. They might sing the songs, they might say the words, but they truly don't believe it. Because Brother Bram gave us an illustration of a young man who was a son of a king. And that son of the king acted like the son of a king. Because of who he was and what he knew that he was. Because he recognized who his father was. Then he conducted himself as the son of a king. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of recommendation from you? Is that what it's all about? As Brother Bram said, you know, you have to have your name on their book or they won't let you speak. You have to have letters from the headquarters or they won't have anything to do with you. And Paul says, is that what it's all about? Do we need letters of recommendation? He says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Written in the heart. Not written on the shirt sleeve. Not an outward Christian who goes through the actions and does things apparently the right way, but epistles written in the heart. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In other words, he says, look, you are a written epistle. It's written on the heart. And because it's on the heart, it's seen on the outside. Now John said, he that says that he has no sin only fools himself. I believe that's in actually 1 John chapter 1. We can just read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which you have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. As I read last Sunday, the quote where Brother Branham said, most people that go to church, they think that they will be judged by the church. He said, they're wrong. God will judge you at the last day. And God knows every thought that goes through your mind. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. But Paul says, or John says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As long as you're walking in the light, it doesn't matter how well you understand that light. If you're walking in that light, the blood is there to cleanse you from all your sin, all your unbelief, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unright wiseness, to cleanse us from all wrong thinking. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." Paul is saying God has placed His Spirit within our control to use that Spirit to etch within you the life of Christ. And then Paul says, "But this sufficiency is not of ourselves." And such trust have we through Christ to God, were not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. As Paul said, "I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." As the Holy Spirit, speaking through William Branham, said, "William Branham has nothing to do with this, no more than just a voice. And yet an instrument of God, by whose voice it has transformed your lives from sinner to saint. Whose voice etches out the sin within your soul." Listen to that voice. And it'll, I tell you what, if you listen to the voice of God on a regular basis, it will cleanse you from all unbelief. It will show you where you're wrong. And it'll right all wrongs. If you have questions concerning the life, listen to the questions and answers. The problem we have in this message is everybody's got it, but they don't got it. They've all got the message. There's no excuses today. It's $10 or $15 a set. The only problem is, are they listening to learn? Are they listening to change? Because if we're not willing to change, we're not going to get a change of the body. God doesn't want any hard-nosed attitudes in His children. He wants you soft and supple. He wants you to transform you by the renewing of your mind. And the only ones that won't change are those who are already crystallized, and they are doomed. They will not be in the rapture. So repentance is the beginning of life. "Repent ye, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He promised to fill you with the Holy Spirit." And the only way that you can overcome your own flesh is, as Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave His life for me." Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Not that anyone filled with the Holy Ghost is sufficient in themselves. But our sufficiency is in Christ, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so just about every church that names the name of William Branham teaches that the evidence of being born again, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is that you believe the word for the hour. And you know, the same water that lifted up Noah to safety is the same water that drowned the rest of humankind. The same word that saved Noah is the same word that condemn the world. The washing of water by the Word. And so the same message that people claim to believe, yet do not enter into, is the same message that will judge their lives at the great white throne judgment. And we have the great judge has come down among us in this hour. So the Spirit giveth life, but the letter killeth. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Paul says, when Moses came down in Numbers chapter 5, having spent 40 days in the presence of God, when God took his finger and etched out the Ten Commandments, and Paul came down, his face was aglowed with a reflection of the presence of the pillar of fire. And Paul says, if the ministration of condemnation of the law was so glorious that Moses' face could reflect the very presence of God, how much shall not greater be the ministration of the Spirit? When that same Spirit returns in an omega reflection, and we see a prophet with a ministry far greater than Moses, far greater than Paul, when God Himself brings forth creation, through that man's ministry, 7 people raised from the dead. How shall not the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? Rather meaning in a greater way it shall be glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of right wiseness exceeding glory. And what could be greater right wiseness than the right understanding of the Word by vindication? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And Brother Branham said that veil is traditions and creeds. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Traditions and creeds are upon their heart. Well, I believe in Malachi 4. Well, I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. Well, I believe in paying my tithes. I believe in going to church. I believe in taking communion. And so the traditions blind the eyes of the people. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when it what? When the heart, not the mind, but when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When your heart is truly in love with God for the great things which He has done, you're not so much more interested in the traditions and creeds any longer. You're interested in a relationship, one-on-one, with the sovereign God of heaven. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with an open face, no traditions, no creeds, blinding your eyes, beholding as in a glass, looking as into a mirror, the glory of the Lord. That's this word. We are changed from glory to glory and from image to image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the word glory there is the word doxa. We all know that that means the opinion, assessment, and judgment. So we are all changed when we look into the mirror of the Word. And we're changed from image to image. From opinion to opinion. From what we value to a greater value, to a greater value. As God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But He also said, let the mind which was in Christ be in you. He also said, no man can know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man be in you. He said, neither can anyone know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God be in you. And so God has given us a new birth. And without the new birth, you cannot. I don't care how many times you quote it. I don't care if you say, well, I got Brother Vail for my teacher. Well, I got Brother Branham for my prophet. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot perceive. You can quote it. You can have the same words. You can use words like, well, we got a word token. And we got a word predestination and election. And we got a word, you know, and use all the words that Brother Branham used. Or use all the words Brother Vail used, like godhoodedness. But unless you're born again, there is no way that you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no way that you'll even understand. You'll sit in your chair and you say, scratch your head and say, I don't even know what this guy's talking about. Or you can be a make-believer like some and say, well, that was a fine sermon, preacher. You're getting better every time you speak. As Brother Vail said, they got it, but they don't got it. And so I ask the question this evening. Do you have it or do you just think you have it? Because in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, I speak in parables because they seeing will see not. And hearing they will hear not. Neither will they perceive nor understand, lest I should have to convert them and they be healed. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So getting back to 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not tomorrow. Not some way down the road, but now. Now we're the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't fully have it manifested ourselves in our true character. But when He shall appear, when He shall manifest in His true character, then something begins to quicken. And we'll see Him as He truly is. And as we see Him as He truly is, you begin to understand, hey, I'm not just some earth person. I'm not just some dumb human being that's groping through life. I'm not just some animal, human animal. I am a son or a daughter of the Creator of the universe. And that Creator has come down and manifested His presence among us on this day. And I recognize that's my Father. That's my dad. That's who I am. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, unmerited favor, and peace. What is peace? Ron, what's peace to you? Something calm and intangible. Nathaniel, what is peace to you?
Contentment and free conscience.
Contentment, free conscience. Okay. Enoch, what is peace? Tranquility, sure. Adam?
It has to do with the absence of violence.
Okay, so it's absence of threat. Michael, what is peace to you?
Hope on the side and humanity inside.
Okay, comfort and trueness inside. You're true to yourself. Paul, what would peace be to you? If you could have peace, what would that mean to you? Sure. Joy? Because we associate joy and peace together. How about rest? If there's lack of opposition, lack of... you can rest. If it's tranquil, calm, rest. If there's no inner conflict, no inner fight going on, there's rest. And he tells us how we can have that rest. He says, grace and peace are multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as His divine power. Now in Romans 1 verse 18, he says the power, or Romans 1 16, he says the power of God is 18. He says the power of the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. According as His divine power, His Word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, which means godlikeness, through the knowledge of Him which called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, when I say that I'm giving you a promise, you say, He gave me His Word. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious Word, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Simply put, the measure of God's Word that abides in here is the measure of God's Spirit that you have. That's why Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why we have a measure. But this hour that we live in has a greater measure than the hour of Wesley, than the hour of Luther, than the hour of Irenaeus, of any of them. Because when that which is perfect is come, and Brother Branham said, we have by today, by God's grace, the perfect revealed Word. They which without us cannot be made perfect. You have something that can transform you through the power of God's Word to multiply grace and peace in your heart. That's why we know that all things shall work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose, because God, who is rich in grace and mercy, hath begun a transformation in you, and He which began the good work in you shall perform it. If you would just let go of your human nature, which stinks before Almighty God, and let God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thy throne of mercy this evening, knowing, O God, You are sovereign, which means that no one can tell You what to do or how to do or when to do. But simply put, Father, You are the author and finisher of life, of creation, of all things. Therefore, help us, Father, to walk humbly before You, to seek Your mercy and Your grace while it may be found. And we pray, Father, You would transform our souls from the daily routines of just run to where we can get alone with Thee, commune with Thee, and be moved, led, and guided by Your precious Word. Be with us this evening, Father, we pray. And we commit our lives into Thy care. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Who said, "My meat, My nourishment is to do the will of Him that sent Me." May our strength and our nourishment come from doing Thy will. Help us to feed upon Thy Word instead of on the things of the world. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name, that when we see You, who You truly are, we might recognize who we are. Sons and daughters of the very Creator of the heavens and the earth, in whose life You have breathed, and from whose Word we have come alive. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.